What difference does it make? James readers are asking that question as they're trying to live out this new faith in Jesus Christ in a world that doesn't necessarily want to see the perfect life that Jesus modeled lived out by those around them. So James, who is Jesus' brother, he writes this letter to the church that is scattered throughout the Roman world, a church that is facing real difficulties and struggles to figure this out. And James encourages them and reminds them of what living a real faith looks like as a follower of Jesus. And so I realized as I was looking at this message and these scriptures and figuring out what we're going to talk about today, I realized that the attire that I'm wearing today, the shoes that I have on, aren't really the kind of shoes that I think a Jesus follower would necessarily be wearing. Now, I like Sunday shoes. They're kind of nice, dress shoes. And I like to dress up because I look so nice. Right, Cheryl? Yeah, handsome and all. But, in reality, the kinds of shoes that I think a Jesus follower ought to be wearing are really kind of work boots. Scuffed up, little dirty. Because that life of following Jesus isn't always an easy road, is it? There's a lot of bumps and hills and bruises along the way, and sometimes we just get in life and it's a little messy, a little dirty, and so we need some real shoes to put to walk our faith out in. So if we're going to live a real faith, we're going to have to put feet to it. So we're going to gear up this morning for right living as a follower of Jesus. So in our DC weekend that we just returned from, we asked this question, what difference does it make as a follower of Jesus? Well, James addresses that in this passage that we're looking at today. In verse 25, we read, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So we want to know that our lives as Jesus followers really make a difference, that it has an impact, and that that life results in some good outcome. And so we're called to live a way of life as a follower of Jesus that is peculiar or particular, specifically the life that Jesus himself modeled. And as we live that life, James says, it results in blessing. So what are those blessings of right living? I mean, what difference does it really make? Well, I looked through this passage of James through the book, and I kind of wanted to see what he said about it. What are the blessings that he talks about? And I pulled a few out. Some of the highlights, I think, and the blessings of right living include counting it all joy. We talked about that. James says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." That this life of following Jesus is full of bumps and bruises and hard going, and sometimes we think, well, what is the point in this? If I'm going to follow Jesus, why do I have to go through all this? And we're learning that it actually is these difficult times when we push through and persevere and trust God that we are actually being molded and shaped in the midst of it into Christ-likeness. We're becoming like Jesus. And so there's blessing in that. We can count it joy because we are becoming who God intends us to be through our trials. And that counting it all joy includes the joy of living generously, as Evelyn demonstrated for us this morning. A wonderful joy, a great blessing that comes, not just to her, but to many through that. The blessing of right living includes wisdom. Understanding, having a knowing of not just who God is, but how we actually put the things that we are learning into practice, how we live that out in our real lives. What is it that we are called to do? How do we do this life? Real wisdom for boots on the ground. That's a blessing. The blessing of right living includes position. This is kind of an interesting one. This idea that James says believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. What is a high position? What is he talking about? Well, it's that place that we are in as children of God, as his followers. We are placed in this high position in the kingdom of heaven. We have an incredible inheritance prepared for us as God's very children, the kingdom of heaven for us. It's a high position. James says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love them. You know, the crown is like a king or a prince or a princess. You know, that crown that represents a place of privilege and honor, and that's who we are. We have a position in the kingdom. It's a blessing. The blessing of right living includes peace. I think this is huge. You know, in a world that is crazy, even Little Flock, they're talking about, you know, creating this place of peace and rest where the presence of God is, and where we can just enjoy God himself. James says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That harvest is right living that brings that peace of God into our lives. And the blessing of right living includes God's presence. I think this is huge. This is key. You know, James says, come near to God and he will come near to you. You know, that promise that when we draw near and pursue God and live for God, that we experience God's very presence in our lives. That powerful, tangible, real understanding that God is here. Not just something I read about or not just something up in my head, but God is real and active in my life. God is present. One of the blessings of walking in this new life in Christ. So the blessing of right living includes as well answered prayer. James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Answered prayer. Imagine that, not just throwing up a prayer and just hoping something happens, but that God is listening and God answers those prayers. So what difference does it make? Jesus promises us life as it is meant to be. We want that kind of life, don't we? As Jesus followers, the life God intends, the way it's meant to be. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full in John 10:10. James gives us a glimpse of this fullness of life in these blessings that he speaks about. And as we live into this life, as it's meant to be, we begin to get a picture of what it really is. When we were at retreat, we had the opportunity at the end to take a polar plunge, and some of our students took us up on this. And it was amazing as they were jumping into the water that, you know, you'd think the first response, which some of them were, was, ah, this is cold. Yep, it is. But, you know, one of the things that I kept seeing over and over as they kept coming back is smiles on their faces. It's like, what is this all about? They were really enjoying this. This is like real life. This is fun stuff. And so as followers of Jesus, we're called to live into that fullness of life that Jesus gives. So what does it look like to take the plunge into right living? Well, we're going to look here. James says we're practicing right living when we are quick to listen and slow to anger. Let's read this in the passage. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, listening, really opening our ears to what other people are saying. I've always thought of myself as someone who doesn't really get angry too easily. I do sometimes. I can get mad. But, you know, it takes a lot, you know, to really get me going. And so I don't really struggle that much with anger. But, you know, listening, that may be another thing. I always thought of myself as a good listener. But, you know, the truth is, sometimes I hear, you're not listening to me. uh, And I don't get it. I mean, I'm a good listener. What does that mean? I'm not listening. But I am beginning to realize that I'm not as good of a listener as I thought maybe I was. I mean, you think after 54 years, I'd get it kind of figured out. I don't hear as well, but I don't listen as well as I thought either. There we go. And you know, James is saying, you know, why is it that we get angry? Could it be that we're just not listening? We think maybe somebody's not understanding me. They're not listening to me. But could it be the opposite? I'm not listening to another person. I'm not hearing what they're saying to me. I am not allowing them to communicate with me what's going on in their heart. And if I would simply stop and listen, I would begin to understand much more and much better. And I wouldn't be getting as angry because I would have understanding. So James says, be quick to listen and slow to anger. So now I'm confessing, I struggle with listening. So I'm working on it. That's my new challenge, to begin to be a better listener. James says we're practicing right living when we are getting rid of moral filth and evil. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, this seems fairly straightforward, and I think James is kind of that way as a letter. You know, get rid of the things in your lives that, in our lives that we know just aren't right, that aren't consistent with living a life in Christ. You know, it could be slander or lying or cheating or sexual immorality, or the list goes on and on. We know those kinds of things, but the scripture is calling us not just to know them and hear them, but actually to begin to move away from those things in our lives and move instead towards that walk that God is calling us into. He says, accept the word planted in you with humility, which can save you. You know, it's that word of God that we hear that begins to take root right here in our heart and begins to flow and flourish. And as we move away and push away from those things that we know we are not to do, that allows that word of God to begin to produce the good things in our lives that we know that we want, that fullness of life that we are pursuing and seeking. We're practicing right living when we accept that word, allow it to grow, and when we do God's word. It's pretty simple. Do not merely listen to the word, James says, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do it. Do it. You know, God's word, we are called to what? Do it. Yeah, put it into practice. It's not just about learning it. It's about living it. Living generously, bit by bit, whatever it is. That's something that I am learning this year, I think, in my life a little bit more. This theme has kind of come and resonated in my heart. For me, is just to live a life a little more generously in all kinds of ways, from listening to even resources. And so as I begin to practice this, you know, I find right away it's a challenge. You know, I'm invited to live generously, and I'm kind of like, I want this. This is mine. I'm not so ready to give up on all the stuff that I think I deserve, but okay. I'm trying to live generously, so I release that a little more. And then amazing things happen, like Ava Lynn, you show me what it means to live generously with a gift to Little Flock, and I'm inspired. I really am, and ways that I see you, and this is true, ways that I see you act extremely generously to others, and I am just inspired, and I begin to live more generously myself as we live into that kingdom life that God promises, that abundant life, doing God's word. So we're practicing right living when we are submitting to God. And I'm going to jump into another chapter, James chapter 4, and just read a little bit here. And as I do, let's let this word of God get rooted and planted in our heart. And so James says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Oh, do you guys ever have that issue? Do you ever fight or quarrel or anything like that? Maybe. We won't do a hand raising here, but oh yeah, this actually applies here, doesn't it? To me. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You know, this is a shocker, really, in Scripture. It really is. What? Isn't life about pursuing the things that give me joy and give me pleasure? And yet the Scripture is saying that's what's causing the issues and the trouble and the struggles. You know, we are seeking things that really can't provide the life that we really desire as a Christ follower. And as we try to fill those gaps and holes with the pleasures that we seek, we begin to realize that they're not filling those pleasures, but they're actually taking us further and further away from that abundant, full life, the life God intends us to live, the way life is meant to be lived. So James continues on, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." So what do we do? How do we live this different kind of life, the way life is meant to be lived as a Christ follower? Well, James says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you." There's that promise again, that presence of God in our lives. And he's saying that it comes down to choosing life. You know, choosing God's way. And then when the temptations come, which they do, we all face temptations, then we are to resist the devil and to turn away from those temptations, push back. And as we push back, what happens? The devil flees from us. But not only that, as we turn to God, you know, God draws near to us. So we're choosing to push back against the temptations and draw near to God. The devil flees and God draws near. What an amazing idea, right? What an amazing concept. But here's the thing, it's not just an idea, it's a reality that's lived out in our lives and becomes truth to us. The blessing of submitting to God is God's presence. God's with us. And James finishes with kind of a hard word. He says, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom." This idea of washing your hands and purifying your hearts, you know, this isn't a literal illustration of what we were trying to do at the DC retreat, but the idea of plunging into the water and coming out kind of does give us a little picture of what it means to wash and purify ourselves. So let's take a look again. Yes, it's not a repeating video. This is the real thing. Who's that? Does it play? No? Okay. All right, well, Jacob did plunge into the water and came back out, didn't you, Jacob? Apparently. Yes. That was good. That's good. And Alex, how many times did you jump through? 23 times. Pretty amazing. I think that's definitely a record for Wheaton and almost a record for Lake Beauty, so. Good job. So Jacob was kind of living out this verse that next comes. It says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So in this video, they lifted you right out of the water, didn't they? Got you out of the hole. So that was an amazing experience. But that's the amazing part of this. When we humble ourselves, submit to God's way of living, he raises us up and we begin to walk into those blessings that God has for us. So we're practicing right living when we are doing the good we know to do. James says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So here's five areas, that when we do these things, we're living into that life as it's meant to be for a Christ follower. So we keep walking in this blessing of right living. And there's one more that I pulled out of here, and this one I wanted to kind of highlight because it caught me as a follower of Jesus when I was first beginning to understand what it meant to live the way God intended. And when I was discovering this walk and reading through this book of James, this was kind of like, wow, this is an aha moment here. What if I actually did this? And so it says, we're practicing right living when we are praying for each other and confessing to each other. I get that first part, right? Praying for each other. That second part in confessing to each other, it's kind of like, James says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. I did that. We're doing that, aren't we? Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. I'd never heard of that before. I'd never seen that done before. I was wondering, well, why aren't we doing that? What would it look like if we actually did that? And James continues on, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well and will raise them up. Wow, that sounds amazing. That's something we want, isn't it? That's the kind of abundant life that we want to live into. And then he continues, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. And then I got stuck. I said, well, what's the sin connection here? What's that have to do with the rest of this? This link between forgiveness and restoration. But when we think about it, sin is the opposition to that life that Jesus intends. And the devil comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Opposition to this blessing that James is speaking about of walking into the blessings of God. And Jesus came that we might have life and life to the fullest. It reads in the New Living Translation, the thief's purpose is to kill and steal and destroy. That's one way. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's another way. This is the life that we want. So how do we experience the blessing of right living? What does that look like for everyday life? Well, James continues, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Jesus always proclaimed a gospel of grace. That's the good news. We want to live right, but we know we're going to screw up sometimes. We're going to mess up. And we're not always listening the way that we could be. And we get angry quickly. Sometimes over the wrong reasons. We just don't do God's word. Even when we know what we're supposed to do, sometimes we just don't do it. We decide to do things our own way instead of humbly accepting God's way of doing things and turning to God's way. And we find ourselves entangled in the sin that we know we're supposed to turn from. And it begins to rob us of that joy that we have. And we feel like we're losing the hope that used to be so strong in our lives. And the love we used to have for others that was vibrant and alive now is lacking, and it's not what it used to be. And we feel a sickness. We know it's in our soul, but it begins to manifest itself oftentimes physically throughout our body. But it's really, we know, a spiritual virus that's infecting us, and it's beginning to rob us of the life and faith that we once had. We're sick. We need help. We need grace. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confessing means acknowledging our sin and to each other so that we can pray for each other, recognizing that we're not perfect and we're real people. We make mistakes. But then we're asking God to extend his forgiving grace, grace that brings healing and restores us to the fullest possible life. And that is what we pray for each other, to be forgiven of our wrong way of living, so we might enjoy the blessing of right living, the blessing of life to its fullest. That's living a real faith. Not that we're perfect, but we're humbling ourselves before God together and asking for this life. And that prayer is powerful. James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Why is it powerful? Because it's God's way, and God's way is powerful. So will we pray for each other? Will we confess to one another and let the healing and abundant life of Jesus Christ be released in us, in all of us, together? You know, in D.C. we had a cardboard testimony time. We actually looked at what difference does it make having Jesus in our lives, and talked a little bit about what it looks like, you know, before we made this choice or recognize God in our lives, and has that made a difference? And if it has, what is that difference? Or if we're just on that journey, why are we beginning to look at that? And I was really amazed at what, you know, DC kids shared and their honesty, really, in sharing, you know, what life looks like and what's taking place now. And it's encouraging to me, really, to recognize that living a real faith makes a real difference. And it makes a real difference for our junior high kids. And it makes a real difference for each of us. The blessing of right living makes a very real difference in our lives. But it also makes a very real difference in the lives of those around us. And that's where James finishes. He says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So what's holding you back from living a real faith? I invite you to take the plunge.
Again.
Oh, you did too!
Again.
7, 8, 9,
over 10.
10.
Woo!
Good.
Don't worry about it, Jill. Nice job. I invite you to plunge into the real life of living an empowered faith in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for the joy that we have in living and life together and the experiences that we have in retreat and just being together in worship. Lord, we desire the life that you intend for us, the life as it's meant to be in Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask that you would empower that life in us. Lord, that we would be those who recognize in humility that we need to turn to you, and as we turn to you and confess to one another, that we pray for each other, that we pray for that life to be made known in each one of us. And Lord, that as we do, we begin to experience the joy of your presence in us for now and for eternity. And so, Lord, we are your church. Make us into the image of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.